Did you see my tweet to Jay Billis?
I did not.
He came on, he tweeted about the fouls to follow up what we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. He probably, I guess Tuesday morning he tweeted, everybody thought the new foul rules were going to make the rich richer like Duke and UK, but both lost last night. And my response to him was, it's not like Duke and Kentucky lost to DePaul and Rutgers.
Yeah.
Michigan and State and Kansas aren't exactly the sisters of the poor.
Yeah.
So it was like the silliest argument.
That is the silliest argument. I expect better from Billis.
It is Sunday, November 17th, and this is Not Half Bad, the podcast covering Rutgers and St. John's basketball. I'm Dave White of OnTheBanks.com, the Rutgers blog. And with me, as always, is Norman. Yeah, another week in the books. Was this the second week of games?
Second week of games. St. John's had one. Yeah. Rutgers had two.
Two games. So how did St. John's do? I didn't really follow that game. I know they won, but
yeah, St. John's handled their business. They beat the Wagner Seahawks 73-57 in the home opener. It was a little close, a little touch and go at times, but you know, mostly St. John's just, you know, they jumped on them early and stayed on them most of the time.
Aw. I'm looking at the stats here. Oh, wow.
0-for-10. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
What
that
happened?
3-point shooting's really improved.
Yeah, Max Hoopa.
Well, he got like a minute. Like he got a minute at the end of the first half. And this was after Steve Lavin had said that he wanted to try and get him and Borgo a little more time, or specifically Borgo. The way he was talking him up, you kind of got the idea that he was going to get a good 10, 15 minutes of run. But no.
Instead, yeah, he got a DNP, it looks like, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Yikes, who else? D'Angelo Harrison? I'm just looking at the box score here, mm-hmm. seeing what's
yeah,
going
D'Angelo
on.
Yeah, D'Angelo Harrison really stood out. He had his 25 points, got a couple of rebounds, or actually 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He played well. He was pretty much the D'Angelo Harrison you want. Like, he looks to score, but he also looks to, quote-unquote, playmake, as Steve Lavin likes to say. Jakarr Sampson got into his comfort zone and got to shoot some long two-pointers, got to the line a few times. And other than that, I think everybody will just play their role, played some defense. Orlando Sanchez had 8 points, 8 rebounds. It was good.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. What else we got? Obekpo with 8 rebounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like his rebounding is a lot better than it was before.
4 blocks. Nice.
Of course.
Yeah. So no worries, no real no story there, just they did what they had to do.
No, I mean there's certainly a story in the fact that they can't shoot, in the fact that they let a team that they were up almost 20 points at one point. They let them get within, I think, like 5 or 6
oh.
in the second half. You know, these are the things that you'd like to see a team just handle business and stay on their opponent. But I don't know. In some ways, it's not this team yet. Shooting 0-for-10 is pretty, you know, especially from guys like D'Angelo and I don't know. I mean,
At least they only took 10. You know, it's not like they were throwing them up, shooting 18 to 20 threes and missed all of them.
That's true. And they did shoot 36 free throws. That said, you know, I've never – that's kind of what Steve Lavin, I think, would say. They're taking smart shots, quote unquote. But you can't. These are the games where you need to practice and get in a rhythm with being able to shoot the three. And – it's weird to have a team that doesn't. I mean, it's good to have a team that doesn't take bad shots or shots that they can't make, but still.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to – with the college game the way it is, if you can't hit threes, it's going to hurt you somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and all the free throw attempts in the world, you know, one day you're going to get a ref who's not going to give you those calls.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that – there are some troubling signs, it looks like. But yeah. I didn't see the game, so I don't know how smooth it was. I didn't, you know.
No, at times St. John's looked pretty smooth. They started Phil Green the fourth instead of Jamal Branch. And I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's hard to say that that did something good or bad for the team. Because Jamal Branch actually was pretty sharp off the bench. He had 20 minutes, 8 points. Two turnovers, an assist, and drew some fouls. And he looked good when he was on the floor, maybe a little more comfortable not playing next to Rashid Jordan and D'Angelo Harrison, two other guys who want to dominate the ball. That said, you know, Phil Green went like 1 for 2, scored 5 points. Rashid Jordan scored a big zero, going 0 for 7. And then, you know, whatever. He's a freshman. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, I don't know. You'd like to see either Green and or Jordan get on track. You can't just have the D'Angelo Harrison show every week.
Let me ask you a question. Is Phil Green the fourth the best of the Phil Greens?
Yes.
Okay. Good answer.
I will say there when they play DePaul, it'll be the battle of the fourths. DePaul's new freshman center, Tommy Hamilton, is Tommy Hamilton the fourth.
He's a center?
Yeah.
He and Phil Green should be playing power forward.
Yeah, they should be. They should be just like 4-on-4 playing the four.
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's they're both from Chicago, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, weird.
Yes, yeah, nice coincidence. Mm-hmm. So, St. John's took care of business. Who do they got coming up?
They got Bucknell on Tuesday and then Monmouth next Friday. Bucknell should be an interesting contest. They have certainly some talent. I believe they knocked off Penn State. You know, they're pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, they have, what's his name? Cameron Ayers' younger brother, I think, on the roster. I mean, Cameron Ayers, who's Ryan Ayers' younger brother, on the roster.
Okay.
And he's one of their stars. They've got some good shooting. You know, they should be a good challenge.
And Monmouth should be a walk, but
one would hope, yes. All right, so how was Rutgers week?
They had an interesting week. They played UAB on Monday and lost 79-76. They got dominated on the glass, 54-27, and UAB had 22 offensive rebounds. And that's really what killed him. It was the second chance points. Rutgers at one point led by 9 early in the second half. UAB kept whittling back. Rutgers would go up 7. And at one point, Rutgers was up 7. Miles Mack stole the ball, was dashing down the court, chased by one of the UAB players. Can't remember who. Mm-hmm. And he dished it off to Seegers, who blew a wide open layup. UAB took it back up the court, and it just got ugly because J.J. Moore decided to throw an elbow into Rod Rucker's stomach. There was a flagrant foul, and it really just changed the momentum of the game.
Did he get ejected?
No, he did not. It was a flagrant one. So it was foul shots and the ball.
And that was a real game changer then.
Yeah, that was the moment that you kind of, as a fan, go, oh, I've seen this before. You know, Jack, they still had 4 guys scoring double digits, and they still scored 76 points. The interesting stat was they had 14 assists and only 3 turnovers on the road, Rutgers.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, that's a silver lining if you're looking for one. But it was a game.
But on the other hand, they lost to a team that shot 2-for-14 outside the arc. What the hell?
It was all second chance points. Was really what it was. Every time the guards and Moore, or whoever was playing small forward, would leak out, leaving Judge and Jack back to grab a rebound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, UAB just crashed the boards and was able to, you know, put backs. And then after the Moore elbow, you know, half the team was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
And they really couldn't play any sense of physical defense. In fact, Eddie Jordan called the game, and by game he meant basketball, mm-hmm. a farce with the new fouls. He was really frustrated.
All right. I mean,
well, he knew. I mean, if you listen to the interview, the first thing he talked about was the rebounding and how they have to rebound and play better defense. But he was asked about the fouling.
Okay.
And the way it was called. And he said the game of basketball is becoming a farce. He said because you can't be physical in the lane.
Yeah.
Anytime a guard drives, there's no way to defend him.
You know, that there's an interesting point to be here made, being that, you know, Jordan played it in the 70s and it was a different, more physical game. That said, I think there's a move in most sports to get a lot more free-flowing, open scoring, kind of athletic play. And that is a problem with basketball, a game where people are going to be bumping into each other all the time.
Right. I think Rutgers is taking advantage of the free-flowing, too. Their offense is way up. I mean, they've scored 92, 76, and 72. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I'm used to seeing a Rutgers team that's, for the last 8 years, is scoring in the 60s. You know, 65 is the high point. So
and the pace isn't, you know, wildly – well, I mean, it's a lot faster than last year, but it's not, like, wildly crazy. It's not like they're playing DePaul speed games.
No. They're just they're learning. I'm hoping they're learning a new defense and learning how to, you know, work as a team, and that's what's hurting the rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to – they played Yale, and they won by one in a game that was way more exciting than it should have been.
Okay.
But Yale, really, the first half took it to Rutgers. You could tell their philosophy was to slow the ball down, mm-hmm. but had they decided to push the pace, I'm pretty sure they were shredding Rutgers press in the first half. Mm-hmm. And if they had decided to push the pace, they would have been up 10 at halftime. Instead, they were only up 3, 37, 34.
Mm-hmm.
They opened that up to 8 with about 8 minutes left. And Rutgers finally decided to lock down on defense the last 8 minutes. You know, Yale shot 54% in the first half. At one point early in the second half, had it up to 56%. But Rutgers really locked down the defense in the last 8 minutes. I think there was a three-point shot and a layup were the only non-free throws made by Yale in the last 8 minutes. And Rutgers kind of whittled their way back. J.J. Moore hit two big threes at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And then Kadeem Jack got fouled with 14 seconds left. And hit two free throws to put Rutgers up one. And then they played a nice defensive last 12 seconds with a couple of weird referee calls in there.
Such a drama.
Yeah, it was I texted you that it's way too early in the season to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
When I was walking out of the game. But
I do love the fact, as an aside, that Yale has the well-dressed Armani Cotton on their roster.
Yeah, Armani Cotton, he hit a bunch of he hit what I thought was the dagger with 4 minutes left. Rutgers hit a three to get back to I think Campbell hit a three,
mm-hmm.
and got within three. Cotton came right down the court and hit another three to put him back up six right before the last media timeout, and I thought that was the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Sears was the big story. He's a Plainfield, New Jersey guy, which is about 15 minutes from Rutgers.
Okay.
And is probably Yale's best player.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saddled with foul trouble the entire game. He fouled out with about a minute and a half left. But Yale looked smart. A lot of the beat reporters are saying they thought Yale was the second best team in the Ivy League.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't surprised by this. I was surprised. I thought Rutgers should have won by six.
Next, you know, coming into
the game. Yeah, Princeton's coming up on the schedule.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, you always play Princeton. Always play Princeton. So,
you know, you gotta play for the supremacy of football.
Central Jersey.
Central Jersey, yeah.
Well, it used to be a big rivalry. We stole cannons, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, now those were the days.
Yeah, back, you know, in the days of horse and buggy. It was an interesting week because Rutgers came out 2-1, which I think is where everybody kind of expected them to be.
Yeah.
But I think they could have been they could be 1-2, or they should have been 3-0. That UAB game kind of stuck in I think, Jordan's craw a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, the offensive rebounding by UAB is pretty notable, you know?
Yeah.
What's it? Rod Rucker, Aliodzic and C.J. Washington had a combined, 14 offensive rebounds? What is that?
Yeah, it's insane. They just crashed the board. The problem was the instead of just Mac and Seegers or whoever was playing guard leaking out, I think Moore kept leaking out too, and there was no one to box out. Yeah. So each rebound was a battle. Wally Judge had 8 rebounds, and Kadeem Jack only had 3. That's not good.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Overall, how are you feeling about the Rutgers program, and specifically about Devon Campbell, who seems to be getting a lot of minutes off the bench and making an impact?
I like Campbell. I don't like that it's hurting Seegers' play. Jordan said that he benched both Moore and Seegers for most of the second half against Yale until he was forced to put them in due to fouling. Mm-hmm. And they both, on the key play where Moore hit a 3-pointer with 26 seconds left, they both played a role. Seegers came up with a steal, and Moore, you could tell he's a senior. It was just, you know, one of those onion shots. But I think Campbell is really starting to show himself as an interesting player. You know, he can score, he can hit the three, but he definitely looks to pass. He had 2 assists the other night. And he seems to have a good connection with Miles Mack.
Yeah.
You know, he looks for his shot when it's there, but he's not afraid to give it up. Seegers, a lot of times on offense, will come down and pull a playground move. Mm-hmm. You know, Deke is – I'm using hockey terms, but juke his opponent and then shoot a 3.
Deke in basketball. That's not a problem.
You know, dribble between his legs, shuffle his shoulders, and then shoot a step back 3 without passing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you don't mind that once in a while, but when he does it 2 or 3 times out of, you know, 6 possessions,
it's a point guard play. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, he had 3 assists, but he also had 3 turnovers, and his defense was not good. So he was benched. What did he play? 19 minutes. And Campbell got 30 because there's only right now 3 guards
who are healthy. Yeah,
who are healthy. So they're going to have to play. What worries you is before Okoro, who had knee surgery, comes back, how many minutes are these guys going to play? Jerome's going to have to pick up some slack here.
No walk-ons that can come on and take a few minutes?
No, the walk-on that they had that was the most talented thought he was going to get some playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they told him he wouldn't play that much. And this was before Okoro was injured and he decided to transfer.
Okay.
You know, transfer a step down.
I also hear that Austin Carroll, who transferred, is getting like no minutes at American.
Really? Yeah. The fading end of the Fred Hill recruits.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Carroll, I haven't kept track of him. I know Baruta's, you know, Hurley seems to love Baruta at URI.
He was a good player.
Yeah, he is. But he's fouled. These foul rules are killing him.
Oh, I'm sure.
He fouled a ton, you know, back when you could, you know, elbow a guy in the face and not get a call.
Yeah. He's got a goon game.
Yeah. But he's a good player. He's smart, you know. He's very fiery.
Mm-hmm.
Kadeem Jack is still standing out. You know, after his 30-point game in the opener, he had 11 against UAB and then 18 the other night. Just a presence. So, Rutgers has the first 2 games of the preseason. We're going to have a ton of Rutgers to talk about next week because they have 3 games this week.
They have what? They have Canisius?
Canisius and then the winner of Drexel, Elon, the next day.
Oh, that's the...
Unless they lose to Canisius, in which case then they have the loser of Elon Drexel. It's the preseason NIT.
Preseason NIT, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then they have a kind of stick-in game next Saturday against William and Mary.
Ooh, maybe John Stewart will come to a Rutgers game.
Maybe he will, maybe. If you're Rutgers, you really want to get to MSG, you want to win these next 2 games.
Yeah.
But they're saying Rutgers has the most difficult path to MSG in the tournament. So, Canisius is apparently decent, even though St. Bonaventure's beat him by like 16 yesterday.
Oh, really?
And Drexel's supposed to be very good.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Drexel, that is a tough road. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, and, well, there's a lot of shuffling. Rutgers was supposed to play Fairleigh Dickinson, which is just an awful program right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a local team. You know, they're at Jersey University.
Yeah, fairly ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And apparently the rumor was some of the big name schools, Duke and Arizona, got really upset. And it took them till, I think, the middle of September to announce the brackets.
What did they get upset about?
All the shuffling. They didn't want Rutgers to play the worst team in the tournament. They thought they should be Duke or Arizona.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand. Yeah.
So, Rutgers ended up with the most difficult path. And then if they get to, they'll likely play Arizona.
So. It's a good RPI matchup. It's a good good to get on TV
to see if you can hang for a half or I don't know. It's I don't know how I feel about Rutgers yet because I don't think you could judge them until E2 comes back, which will be not this week but next week, either the first game at MSG or whatever the if they lose this week the consolation round, whoever they play in that.
Honestly, I got to say that if Rutgers can get past these two teams. That's mm-hmm. already really good for the RPI. I mean, that's some help. I think they could – I don't want to say NCAAs. That's a little too far, isn't
it? No, it's too early.
But I think that these are incredibly important games. Canisius will be good. They've got mm-hmm. good shooting. Drexel is good. And then you losses to Arizona and whoever else will look mm-hmm. a lot better than, losses to, Drexel and a win over Elon,
Right. I mean, if they win the next two and they get to MSG, they probably lose to Arizona, which mm-hmm. means they probably play Alabama, which, that's probably a somewhat even matchup.
Yeah. It'll be ugly as hell.
Yeah. But it puts them in a nice position. You want to get through this week, get to MSG. You want to be 6-1 after William and Mary. Mm-hmm. Or would that be right? 5-1 after William and Mary. Because they're 2-1 now. So, and then you have E2 coming back, and that adds a little depth. Mm-hmm. At worst, it adds 5 extra fouls down low. And then hopefully around conference play, Okoro comes back, and you're a full team again.
Yeah.
So we'll see. This is probably, the next 2 weeks are probably the biggest of the out-of-conference for Rutgers. What about St. John's? What's their, when's their big out-of-conference week? Everybody has one.
St. John's schedule is such that their big moments were Wisconsin last week and then Syracuse in December. But then they have the Barclays Classic Friday, November 29th and Saturday, November 30th, where they start with Penn State on Friday afternoon. And then the next day they face the winner of Ole Miss and whoever the hell the other team is. I mean, seriously, it's like the other team is something where I was like, I can't care enough,
Right.
I actually should find out who this other team is.
Yeah, you might want to get ready for that.
Yeah. Who are we buying? The other guys. Oh, Georgia Tech, who actually don't suck.
Yeah, they have what's the coach's name?
Brian Gregory.
Yeah, I want him.
I don't think very much of him as a coach, but...
You don't?
No, I think his Dayton teams always had a lot of talent and energy. And then they ran out of energy at the end of games. It was almost like clockwork. In the last, 5 to 10 minutes, you could be like, I know they're up 20, but let's watch the other team whittle it away,
Yeah, he was the guy. I know Pernetti, when he hired Rice, tried to convince Gregory to come to Rutgers. And he was the guy I was really interested in. But
it would have been interesting.
Probably would have been in the same position right now. Actually, this probably – if you're – view of Gregory is right. This probably would have been Gregory's last year.
Maybe. I mean, he might have. He seems to be good at getting along with people. And mm-hmm. I feel like he might get a few more years than he otherwise would. Even at Dayton, I think Dayton fans were pretty frustrated with the inability of his team to get over the hump. They could never win the conference, even though they had a good amount of talent. It just didn't shoot very well or take smart shots. They did everything too fast. Thank you for listening. This has been Not Half Bad, the podcast covering St. John's and Rutgers basketball. I've been Norman of Rumble in the Garden, and you can find me at Rumble. Oh yeah, no, I've changed my name.
Awesome.
I'm the artist formerly known as Norman. You can find me at Rumble SBN. I would tell you how to pronounce my name, but your tongues will not do the right thing, so you'll just mangle it. And along with my partner Dave of On the Banks.
You can find me on Twitter at Dave_White.
And we'll be back next week with more chatter about the Rutgers flailing in the preseason NIT. And St. John's 2 games against Bucknell and Monmouth.
So you're predicting right now Rutgers is going down one of these next 2 games.
You know, Drexel's going to handle them, man.
Oh, I hope not, but we'll see.
All right.
And all right.
Always check in with us on NHB Pod on Twitter, or you can email at us at nothalfbadpod@gmail.com.
And rate us on iTunes.